This podcast is brought to you by Podcast Nation.
Welcome to the Mom Room Podcast. My name is Renee Rina, and I am definitely the mom friend you have always wanted. Welcome to the Tuesday episode. Today I am talking with Joe Piazza, and I will tell you a little bit about my journey into doing what I do now and also how I came across Joe and her podcast, Under the Influence. So in March 2020, I finished my PhD, finally. I did my undergrad, I did my master's, I did my PhD, and I finally finished days before Toronto was put into a quarantine. So it was like, yay, you did all this work for 10 plus years, and now you're stuck in a house with your toddler. So I did what everybody else did. I downloaded TikTok. I started making TikToks. It was so fun, and it made quarantine a little bit easier because any struggle or difficulty that we had in quarantine, I was able to make it into a funny 15-second TikTok, and people related to it. And so that account grew, and at the same time, my Instagram account started growing, and I just kept talking about things that I felt like nobody else was really talking about, and things that are maybe uncomfortable to say. Like, for example, my husband and I don't sleep in the same bed, and that's okay. So I kept doing this all summer. Obviously, I had a lot of time to put into social media and into the blog, and I found myself slowly entering the world of being an influencer. And I know we all don't really love that word, but that's the word that people use. And it's actually, like, it shouldn't be something that's frowned upon. And Joe gets into that in this episode. It is something to be celebrated. Women start from nothing and build these careers for themselves on their own. For me, it started out with building a community and being able to have conversations about things that I am passionate about, which I still do. But when you're able to monetize on the work that you're putting into all this, like, it's so rewarding because it's like people are valuing what I'm doing, I enjoy what I'm doing, and everybody kind of wins. So, long story short, somebody messaged me on Instagram and they told me about this podcast that they were listening to, and it was called Under the Influence. And it was all about mom influencers. So the history of it, how they started out as bloggers, like way back in the day, way back before I even had an Instagram account. And one of the things I noticed right away when people started approaching me to work with me online is that I had no idea what I was doing. Nobody talks about it. Nobody talks about how you respond when brands approach you, how you decide who you want to work with, what you should be charging people, like the money that you can make, the money that you're worth, like what is your worth based on your engagement, your following, the community that you've built. And so I was really interested to listen to this podcast because I wanted to see what she found, what she shared, and the kind of the history of it and how it all works. In the podcast, if you listen to it, she, at the same time as she's reporting on all these things, she's also trying to become a mom influencer herself. So she gets into her experience with it, and it's really funny. It's such an entertaining podcast to listen to. I believe it is 10 episodes. She is doing a season 2, which should be out this fall. I'm very excited for that. She used to be a celebrity gossip columnist, and so she has an interesting perspective because she's so used to covering traditional celebrities, and now she covers and researches influencers or social media celebrities. So it's really interesting to hear her take on all of this. She is a pretty entertaining human, so I think you are going to love this episode. We get into authenticity. What does that even mean? Mom shaming, why she thinks it happens, the inequality in the influencer space. Yes, it's in the influencer space as well. And she lets us know what other fun projects she has in the works. So without further ado, please enjoy my episode with Joe Piazza, host of Under the Influence. So today I'm talking with Joe Piazza. She is a best-selling author and an award-winning journalist. I've been listening to her for the last several weeks as the host of the podcast Under the Influence, which explores the behind-the-scenes world of social media mom influencers and bloggers. It was fascinating to listen to because since quarantine started last March, kind of found myself in this mom influencer space. And so I was like, someone sent me your podcast on Instagram. And I was like, wow, I need to listen to this. So I found it so fascinating just to learn the history of where it started and how it all works, because I myself am trying to figure out how it all works, right?
Yeah, we all are. We all are. We all have no idea. And also no one talks about it.
Exactly. So, okay, before we get into all that, I thought you could tell us a little bit about yourself, your career, and how Under the Influence came to be, like where the idea came from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. So I am a longtime journalist, started out, my God, like 20 years ago at the New York Daily News, and I was a gossip reporter because that was the only job I could get at a newspaper and not leave New York City. I was working at the New York Times as an intern. And I was like, great, hire me, when I graduated from Columbia Journalism School. And they're like, go to a small town. And I'm like, I don't want to. So I went to the New York Daily News and covered celebrities. And I didn't know who any of these people were. This is pre-Celebrity Magazine. So we were covering a lot of socialites, Paris Hilton, people. Like, I do feel like Paris Hilton is totally our fault. Jesus Christ. We created a fucking monster.
You created Paris Hilton.
We created Paris Hilton. And I would make up like flashcards for celebrities to like tell myself who they were. One night I talked to Jay-Z forever. I had no idea who he was. I almost got fired the next day.
Oh my God.
But it taught me how to be a goddamn good reporter, because if anyone doesn't want to talk to you, it is celebrities. So you have to be really good at your job. And I was there for like, I think 7 or 8 years. And I covered a ton of different beats. Eventually left to start writing books. And since then, I've covered everything from finance to crime to celebrities to I've covered politics and the last 4 or 5 presidential elections. And it's been a long road. And I've watched media change so much in that time. And now the evolution from me being a daily newspaper reporter to being a magazine editor to being a digital reporter, I feel like so much of this is now on social media. And so after I had my second baby, B, who does not sleep a wink. I mean, girlfriend just wants to party all of the time. And I mean, she's still like that. She's 18 months old. I fell into a deep, deep rabbit hole of looking at mom influencers on my phone, because it's the only thing you can do. You've got a baby right here, right? She's breastfeeding. That's like the only time she'll doze. And like, you can just scroll on your phone. That's it. You can't even write an email or a text because you only have a thumb. And I think that Instagram and Apple, like, they're in cahoots. It's like, they only have a thumb. All they can do is scroll and scroll and scroll. And I got curious about them. And the podcast started out, I was like, there's a story here. And like, maybe it's an expose. And I'm going to do an expose of mom influencers. And then I started doing reporting. And I was like, Jesus Christ, these women are building careers. And they are doing hard work. And this is the evolution of media generally. They're selling billions of dollars of product and no one is fucking talking about them. And it's an industry that it doesn't just get ignored. And this is what pisses me off. It gets mocked. It gets mocked. Like, you say you're an influencer and people are like, And I wanted to completely turn that on its head. And so Under the Influence was born. I spent about a year reporting it out. I tried to be an influencer. I'm so bad at it. I'm so just terrible at trying to sell things and talking about myself. But it's really hit a chord. And we've had, you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners at this point. And I get about 100 messages every couple of days. And because I think that people are fascinated by this world that has been so incredibly ignored.
It's interesting to hear you talk about how, you know, it started out as socialites and then it moved to celebrities and now it's social media and it's influencers who are neither socialites nor traditional celebrities, yet they can build these massive careers selling product. It's like, it's fascinating.
It's fascinating. Well, and it's true. I mean, so it did, there were, at first there were normal celebrities, right? Just people in movies and then people in TV. And then when we started covering them so much, especially on the internet and in the glossy tabloid magazines, which only came around in the beginning of the 2000s, we just needed more. We needed more people to feed the beast. We needed more celebrities to watch. Movie stars and TV stars weren't going to cut it. So then we had reality TV stars. And then they became our celebrities because we needed more people to talk about. But now that you're on social media and you just want more and more information all the time, we've turned influencers into a kind of celebrity. People talk to me about influencers the way they would talk about their Jennifer Aniston. They're like, did you see that she got divorced? Did you see that she had another baby? Did you see that pie that she cooked? Like, and they talk to me more about influencers than they do about celebrities.
Social media started out as a way to connect with like friends and family. So it's like a very personal thing. And so we look at influencers, we treat them like celebrities, but at the same time, we consume their content in a way that we think that this is their exact life. You know what I mean? Like, we take it more personally.
100% we do. But there's a basis for that. So television stars have always been better at selling you very intimate products than a movie star. So weight loss products. For example, you would always want a television star. You would not have Angelina Jolie doing a weight loss product because she seems so far away from you. But a TV star is someone who comes into your house. Fucking Oprah is the best at this because she comes in your house or used to every day. And now she has a whole network where she's in your house all the time. She's just living in your walls. Oprah lives in your walls. And so for a long time, consumers felt like they had a more intimate connection with TV stars. So TV stars were able to do those kinds of advertisements and sell you those kinds of products. Even more intimate is the influencer relationship because they live in your hand. They're in the bathroom with you. Like, let's all be honest about where we scroll our Instagram. Like, these influencers come into our most intimate places.
And you're following like their every move. It's not like you're just seeing them Sundays at 7:30. You're watching their life happen.
Their whole life. And because it's all mixed up, like you said, with our friends and our family, we assume that they're also like our friends and our family. And I think one of the things that we wanted to show in Under the Influence is they're not. And we can't hold that assumption. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. But this is a media product. It is a media company. It just happens to be on a different platform. And when we hold influencers to the standard of, but you're my best friend. Why aren't you behaving like my best friend? That's fucking bullshit.
And it's time to give a shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode of The Mom Room and providing me with samples. Thank you, Claritin. Guys, I am starting to come to terms with the fact that I do suffer from allergies. I used to think, oh, I just have really bad sinuses. No, you have allergies. So let's talk a little bit about my symptoms. I wake up with not a stuffed nose, but like I have to blow my nose constantly. So it's like it's producing mucus and I have to keep blowing my nose. It's all itchy. The palate, like the roof of my mouth is itchy in the mornings and I'm trying to like scratch it with my tongue. It's really irritating. And the insides of my ears get itchy. It's one thing to have those symptoms when I'm just hanging out at home. But for example, yesterday I was at book club and my nose kept getting so tingly and itchy and I kept having to go to the bathroom to blow my nose. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. So if you're ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter or ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies. This episode is brought to you by Magic Spoon. You guys know I have been very intentional with what we've been eating lately. I'm looking at protein, I'm looking at sugar content, and avoiding things like artificial ingredients or colorings. Milo used to always want pancakes or waffles in the mornings, and now he is getting into cereal, and I'm so excited because Magic Spoon is the perfect option. Their variety pack has 4 flavors: cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. They have 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 to 5 grams of carbs per serving. They're made with wholesome ingredients, no artificial flavors or dyes, and I'm just so happy that he's getting a good amount of protein before he goes off to school. And it's a great snack for me and my husband too, because 13 to 14 grams of protein in the cereal, now you add a high protein milk, you're set. That is such a high protein snack or meal. I should also mention that it is gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. So go to magicspoon.com/momroom to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code MOMROOM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. So try a delicious bowl of Magic Spoon cereal today at magicspoon.com/momroom and use the code MOMROOM to save $5. Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. I liked when you talked about authenticity and what that is and kind of the, you know, you want people to be authentic, but not too authentic. And so my whole thing on social media is people are like, oh my God, this is so relatable. You're so relatable. And like you were saying, like, you could be my best friend. You could be my best friend. And I find my content is very much more real life or authentic than most. But I like how you said, you know, you don't want to be too authentic. And I get that as well.
Yeah, totally. Well, I think the word authentic has been used so much that it doesn't mean anything anymore. I think, you know, I'm like, say the word hamster 9 times and you're like, what is a hamster? Yeah. Say the word authentic 9 times. You're like, I have no idea what that is, because we are all, with social media, we all curate our lives. We all curate. It's funny. So we got on this morning. I had no idea there might be video content, right? This is my authentic fucking self, my authentic self, but not really, because at first my hair looked like this and I wasn't wearing glasses and I'm like, oh, how do I look a little bit better? And so I did this. I'm like, this is still like, I would not choose to be in the world looking like this, but I still zhuzhed it up because I thought there might be a picture out there. So like, none, even when we're we do the tiniest tweaks, it's not real. And I think that's so important to think about, because when we do look at pictures of, I like looking at pictures of people's lives that are beautiful or that have curated beautiful things. I love a beautiful looking house. I'm like, oh, I could do that in my house. Or look at that garden she built. That's amazing. And I've gotten to a point where I don't feel shitty about it or less than, because I know that another part of their life is probably messed up, right? Like everyone is good at one thing. My friend Allie was over yesterday and she has a newborn. She has fertility issues. So she has a hard time getting pregnant, has to do IVF. But she can make milk like a motherfucker. Like she can nurse a baby. Like she just has more milk than any person that I know. And she feels guilty saying that to some of our other friends who have a hard time breastfeeding. And I'm like, don't. I'm like, you can't make babies easily, but you can make milk like a motherfucker. And so like, we're all just good at different things. And so the jealousy of looking at these lives and being like, they're not real. Everyone's fucked up in their own way. Yes, that woman might have a great garden, but her husband might have a really small penis.
Yeah, you never know.
You never know.
I know. And what I always say is like, people are less likely to pick up, let's say, a copy of Vogue magazine and open it up to like a spread of the Kardashians and where it's all photoshopped and their house is staged, and they don't compare themselves to that because they're like, well, it's a copy of Vogue. Well, why would I compare myself to that? Yet when you see an influencer just post about their house or whatever it is, and it's still photoshopped, it's still staged, you know, we compare ourselves to them because, like I was saying, we find it to be more personable and true to their life, but it's not. It's the same thing.
It's not. And that's one of the things I want to talk about with Under the Influence. We can enjoy influencer content. Let's just think about it like a magazine. I don't read Vogue. It's pretty. I don't really read Vogue because it's not me. It's like not my jam, right? Like I love Alani. I love a like Design Sponge, but like I'm never going to buy a $4,000 bralette. And so if like some of these influencers feel like they're not you, don't follow them. We all have agency, man.
Look at these beautifully curated accounts as magazines, as this is their job.
It's their job. It's their job. And it is a hard job that I cannot do.
So I know on the podcast, you know, had your journey of trying to become an influencer. And so what, you know, if someone's at home and they're like, how do you become an influencer? For me, it was like, I was stuck in quarantine with my toddler and started TikToking, and then all this stuff just kind of snowballed. But yeah, so if someone's at home and they're like, how do you become an influencer? Like, what are the steps that people need to take? And what was that journey like for you?
It was just so much work, man. So much work. And even coming from a magazine background, like I'm used to doing a content calendar. I'm used to, you know, planning out articles, which are essentially posts. The first thing you have to do is decide that you really want to do it and also try to do it. And so when people tell me they want to be a novelist, because I also write books, I write novels, and I'm like, okay, cool. Everyone wants to be a writer. It sounds so fun. Try to write 1,000 words every day for a month. And if you can write 1,000 words every day for a month, you have 30,000 words. You have a third of a novel. So you've done work, like good work. Most people can't do it because it's work and it's hard work. And so when I first started trying to be an influencer, I was like, all right, post shoppable content, influential content that does one or two things. Either someone buys something from it or you get more engagement and build your audience every single day for a month. I couldn't do it. After day four, I ran out of things to post. I did not have the tolerance to write about me in my life. And that's fine because not everyone is good at everything. I'm very good at making podcasts and writing books.
So listening to Under the Influence, when you went into the whole background of reward style, like that was fascinating to me. And then now when I consume content on Instagram, I'm very aware of, you know, when people have all the swipe ups and that it's linking to a reward style thing. So I remember after listening to that episode, I came home and submitted an application to Reward Style because I am the least likely person to be a fashion influencer. But at the same time, like I wear baggy t-shirts and sweatpants. My audience is constantly like, where did you get that? Where did you get that? So I was like, hey, I'm going to apply to Reward Style and see what this is all about, not thinking that they would accept me. And then they did.
Amazing. Amazing. That's so great. Yeah. I mean, it is a black box mystery on how you get accepted to Reward Style.
So but funny.
They gave me so much access and they let me try so many things out. And Amber Vensbox let me ask her so many questions. I was so bummed that it was COVID because I'd wanted to fly down to their offices, but we couldn't do any recording in person, which was a bummer. We're looking at doing a docuseries and hopefully we'll be able to do all of this in person, which will be great for TV. And the thing is, we should know what Amber built, what she has done, because she is like, she completely changed this game. If we know Mark Zuckerberg's name, we should know her name. She is a brilliant, brilliant 34-year-old mother of 4 children. And she also has a very chic yurt resort in Texas that is the most beautiful place I've ever seen. I mean, Amber is the busiest, coolest woman that I know.
Now that I'm so aware of it, I was thinking about it and I was like, yeah, if you have an audience of 1 million people and you want to share products that you use or whatever, you should be making commission on it.
You should make money off of that. Of course you should. Because, and this is something we want to do in season 2, is really dissect how much the owners of Instagram are making. Because they're just making money off of our backs. Every time that a woman makes beautiful content and posts it on Instagram, every third post, they can post an ad. And so exactly how much are they getting for those ads? And then exactly how much do the founders get and the shareholders and the venture capitalists? Like that is very interesting to me because essentially, even though women are getting paid now, we're still just putting money into their pockets. Like, it's not as egalitarian as we would like it to be. And these women are working and only getting paid because people like Amber put the process in place. They've always been making money off of our content, and we don't think about it. Like, everyone's just making a free magazine for, like, the Mark fucking Zuckerberg. Screw you, dude.
It's so true. And I notice even now there's a lot more sponsored posts, and people are paying for those posts to be there. So yeah, that money is just going to Mark Zuckerberg. So
exactly. Exactly. Sometimes I feel bad, and then I'm like, no, fuck that guy.
Yeah.
Same way I feel about Julia Roberts. I'm like, no, fuck her.
So the episode on children of influencers, this was interesting because my son is 2.5 and he's in a lot of my content.
Yeah, of course. They're in all of our content. Like, and that's the thing, like, I can't get on a high horse about any of this. Every fucking friend I have that's not an influencer puts their kids on Instagram. So yeah.
This episode is brought to you by Little Spoon. I'm just going to be honest here. As a busy parent, it's important to keep your life simple and convenient, especially at mealtimes. Nobody ever told me how stressful mealtimes can be. Little Spoon is one way to help you do just that. Little Spoon delivers fresh, healthy meals and snacks straight to your door that your kiddo will love at every eating stage they are in. Their goal is simple. It's to keep your kid healthy, but also to make it the easiest part of your day so that you can cut through all the drama of mealtime without compromise. Little Spoon's baby blends are fresh, organic baby food from single ingredients to multi-textured purees to take the stress out of starting solids. Their biteables are transition to table early finger food meals that are cut to size to promote easy self-feeding with healthy, balanced foods that are free of artificial junk. Little Spoon's plates are for toddlers and big kids. They taste amazing, and even the pickiest eaters will love them. Think hidden veggie mac and cheese, chicken nuggets, and adventurous eats like pot stickers, gnocchi, and more. Little Spoon also offers smoothies, lunchers, and snacks. Did I mention it gets delivered right to your door? It is so flexible, so easy, and everything stores right in the fridge and freezer. You can check out the menu and change up what you order every single time. The price is right, the quality is unmatched, your kids will love it. It's a huge win-win for your family. So simplify your kiddo's mealtime with 30% off your first order. Go to littlespoon.com/momroom and enter our code MOMROOM at checkout to get 30% off your first Little Spoon order.
When we first moved to the Toronto area, when Milo was a lot younger, we got him an agent because I was like, he's so cute. Like, now that we're in a big city, we should explore this option. I took him to one audition. It was a fucking nightmare, and I'll never do it again. I was like, I'm not driving in rush hour to take him to this 15-minute appointment. So we canceled that. But then I was thinking, you know, if I'm making money off posts that have him in it, technically he is working, but is it any different than, you know, signing him up with an agent and having him do contracts for brands that way?
Well, I just think the difference then is it feels a little, not, I don't want to say legit, but like when you're signing those contracts and everything, and then it's very clear that he's working, there's more rules involved when they're working with brands in that way. And there's just no rules involved when it comes to using your children in influencer content. And most of the time, that's totally fine, right? Except when maybe they don't want to do it anymore, and you never know when that's going to happen. And the rules for child actors are very interesting because parents now have to put that money away for their children.
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, and I think that I'm sure most influencer moms that I met are good moms, and they're using that money for them. I mean, look, all of our money goes to our kids anyway, right? Like, somehow. Like, I don't think we have any, like, there are some, like, evil Instagram moms out there, but 95% of influencer moms are good moms. But I do think there is going to have to be some kind of regulation on if a kid is in these, and these are mini marketing studios. And what I found this out, because we have actually hired some influencers to promote Under the Influence. It's meta as fuck. And I have, and we'll talk about it in season two. And so they're all submitting their marketing, their proposals to me now. Like, this feels like I'm on the other side of an advertising brand deal. And their marketing proposals include their kids. And so if your proposal includes your kids, like, where is the line? And we don't know, but I think talking about it is just important. And also then talking about the Sharon Hood episode scared the hell out of me, because I had just, I think we kind of all want to shut our eyes to what weirdos and perverts do on the internet. Not just perverts. I mean, the perverts are the creepiest part, but the weirdos too, who just like really like your family and want to save all your photos. And I think about that. And I post less of my kids now than I used to. There are weirdos out there. Like, there's people that do account, like, I think very lonely people that do kind of like impersonation accounts, and where they take pictures of a certain family and then create up and create entirely different storylines about that family and change all the names and stuff, but use your kids' pictures to create an entirely different family on Instagram because they're desperate for the likes and they're desperate for validation. Like, weird stuff happens on the internet.
Oh yeah. I'm always like wondering about, you know, really big influencers. Like, we know where their kids go to school, where their kids go to daycare. Like, I don't know how people put that information. Like, I would be terrified.
I'm even a little bit careful about it. And no one cares who I am. But, like, stupid things. Like, I never post my kids' school, right? I don't post pictures of our au pair because I don't want people to be able to follow her when she has our kids. And it's sad. That actually makes me sad because she's really a part of our family and she spends so much time with us. And I never want to give the impression that I do this on my own without childcare, because I couldn't do the things that I do without childcare. We have a wonderful young woman who lives with us and helps me do all my things. But I never post her on social media just because I don't want people to know who she is.
I'm curious why you think online, especially, there's so much mom versus mom shaming and judgment. I know for me, it's much more evident on TikTok than it is on Instagram. And I'm assuming it's because a lot of people who don't follow you see your content on TikTok. Why do you think that is such a thing?
I think because we all feel insecure. And I think that we all feel insecure and bad, and shaming someone else, unfortunately, physically makes us feel better. Like, physically and mentally makes us feel better. It's like, oh, well, they're doing this, but I can do this. And again, once you start talking about it, you realize you're doing it, and hopefully it breaks this cycle. But also because the people that are on social media, again, they're in the palm of your hand. So they feel very real and very close to you. Like, you're kind of like someone in your school that is maybe a little more popular than you and sits at a different table in the cafeteria. And we've all been trained that that is normal too. I mean, look at the movie Mean Girls. Like, movies and television have trained us that gossiping and bitching and that is what women do. And so we think that it's normal to do, and it makes us feel good about ourselves. And it's really shitty. And in that episode, which we called Burning Cats, because we found out that French people, of course the French people, were burning cats, live cats, for entertainment in the 18th and 17th centuries. And I feel like what we do to women on the internet is burning cats. Men are terrible enough to women. Like, women need to stop being terrible to other women. And also, I'm just, the urge to comment, I think it's also like you feel like you've accomplished something, and we all feel like we're not accomplishing enough. We all feel like we're not doing enough. We all feel this guilt about our lives all the time.
We're inundated with information. Like, you should be doing it this way. This is best practice. You know, this is the best kind of fruit snack to give your kid. And so, like, I think that contributes to feeling insecure and unsure of what we're all doing. And so if you can point out what someone else is doing that's not ideal or best practice, then you get like an ego boost, you know? And I always say on TikTok, especially, if I post a TikTok that is, you know, something that is easily judged, like we're having McDonald's for dinner or whatever it is, you get so many negative comments. And I'm like, thank you so much for the engagement.
Love. Thank you for boosting me up. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. No press. No press is bad press, bitches.
Exactly. Yeah.
And also, McDonald's for dinner, it happens. Okay. Doing this, like, all the mom judgment has to stop. Like I thought about this so much during the pandemic when like even my own group of friends, it's like, oh my God, is she sending her kid back to school? Is she like, or is she homeschooling? I don't give a fuck how you get it done. Like I do believe in vaxxing. I would like all of you to vax. Vaxxing is very important, right? But like, I don't care how you are raising these children. Don't beat them. Don't berate them. Feed them. Whatever it takes to keep them alive. Charlie eats nothing but fucking french fries right now. And I don't care. He's alive. And he's not screaming in my face. So
I know.
We can't judge other mothers. You don't know someone's life. It's just dumb. It's just freaking dumb. Who cares how someone else raises their child?
So many things that we don't consider about other moms. It's like, we're so quick to judge for that one thing, but we're not considering like, does she have support? How's her mental health? You know, what does she have to get done that day that made her give her child fruit snacks at 8 a.m? That's me.
What's her husband like? Is her husband a total dick that doesn't do anything around the house? Like, are her kids kind of assholes? Like when we're in the car and both of, I hate driving with them. And for some reason I chose to like, we choose to vacation 3.5-4 hours away from our house, like once a month. It's so dumb. And they're terrible in the car. I will give them whatever they want. I'm like, you want a screen? You want to watch that blippy motherfucker on YouTube? You want some french fries? You want a Happy Meal? Like if your kids are dicks, we all do what we have to do.
Yeah, just get through.
And then someone's probably going to judge me and be like, don't call your kid a dick. Well, you know what? Kids, like a lot of kids today have it real easy. And like, I was raised by crazy wolves and I feel like I'm a very interesting person for it. So like maybe my kids need a little more adversity in their life.
So the other day I was storying on Instagram and I said, Milo's at daycare. And I used the captions and it captioned it saying, Milo is a dickhead. But I didn't fix it. No. And so it went out there and people were DMing me like,
Is that okay? And I'm like, but like between my girlfriend, if we want to talk about being authentic and real, between my girlfriends, we're all like, oh my God, they're monsters. Just monsters. And, you know, but also there are women out there that are like, my children are angels. I'm like, all right, you think that? Cool. 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 Or you want to pretend that you think that? Awesome. I don't care. I'm gonna judge you.
So one episode that was really interesting, and I went to that account, the Influencer Pay Gap, because I was like, wow, this is an account that exists. So fascinating. But kind of the inequality in the influencer space. And I like how you termed it the Wild Wild West, because when people started contacting me about creating content for them, I had no idea what to charge them, like what was normal. I had no frame of reference at all coming from academia.
No, how would you know?
I know. And just so that people know, this Influencer Pay Gap account is anonymous, but it shows what people write in saying what they were paid for what content creation from what brand. So it's so fascinating. But I was able to reach out to someone who I knew on Instagram, and she called me and told me she had been doing the influencer stuff for about 5 years. And she told me absolutely everything, like what I should be charging. And it was so helpful and changed my life basically. But yeah, can you talk a little bit about that and how it is like the Wild Wild West and the inequality that exists in the influencer space that people probably aren't aware of?
No, of course not. Well, and brands have gotten away with a lot in the past 5 years because a lot of influencers don't talk to each other because this industry is so new. And because for a long time, there was a standard that women would take free shit and promote your stuff. And that's terrible and unfair and just perpetuates a history where women, you know, haven't been paid for all of the labor and all of the things that they do in the world. And so the influencer pay gap, Instagram created a page where influencers could talk to each other, but anonymously. Because I think it is hard to talk one-on-one or to put, you don't want brands to come after you and not use you, right? So we're all scared. We're all, like, it's so funny because a woman, a like fellow journalist asked me salary questions the other day. And I was almost scared to tell her, not because I didn't want to tell her, but because I was scared the company would like find out that I told her. And then be like, and then get rid of me, right? Like, but by doing this anonymously, Influencer Pay Gap has like let people know. It's like, oh my gosh, this person is being paid this. And through it, they realize that influencers of color make much less than white influencers, that brands have really discounted their work. And not all the time, but the majority of the time, which is something we see reflected in other industries as well. And this year, we've started to see a reckoning that brands are recognizing this, that they have to start not only paying influencers of color, but also using influencers of color in their campaigns. That diversity should not be tokenized, that diversity should just be a part of what you do. And what I found interesting was so many journalists said to me, they're like, well, I just assume the influencer world is all white. It's all Mormon mommies. And I'm like, well, then you're not looking hard enough, because there's influencers of all colors, socioeconomic groups, shapes, sizes, sexual preferences, like genders. They're all out there, but maybe you're not looking hard enough, but also maybe the Instagram algorithm isn't serving up those people to you, because you will only be served people who look exactly like you. Yet another reason that these tech companies, most of whom are engineered by white men, all of whom are engineered by white men, are not doing us any favors when it comes to creating a more diverse world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you actually have to go follow people on your own. They're not just going to show up.
They're not going to show up. You have to follow people on your own. And my best advice is, if you want a more diverse Instagram feed, which I think we all do, because we all do want to see a more diverse world, follow some great influencers of color. Bethany Garcia is one of them. Donya Nagera is another one of them. Her Life Sparkles, which is Tina Meeks, is another. So follow them and then see who follows them and see who they follow, and then follow those people. And then, because you're fucking with the algorithm, you will start to get served more people that are similar to those people, but only if you go out and make the effort. And sometimes the effort is hard, but it's a small effort and it's totally worth it.
Whenever you're approached by brands to do something for them, it's always like, what's your rates? And so if you don't know, then you don't know.
Then you don't know. And I wish that brands need to be more transparent about that. And that's something else I want to talk about in season two. I think it's as shitty as when a company comes to you and says, what are you asking for? What are you going to pay? What are you going to fucking pay? So tell me that. What do you want to pay? And let me see if that is in my specs and if I can make that work. You know what you want to pay. Don't come to me and expect me to guess what you want to pay me. That's ridiculous. I mean, it's like we're working on our house right now and we had a contractor come by and I'm like, give me a ballpark. Tell me like what is, and I said, I'm like, this is my budget. This is exactly how much I want to pay you. Can you work within that? And I put, and like, if we're not transparent about that, it's just, it's bad business and it's bad negotiating. And it's because they know that that gives them the upper hand. Like, what do you want to be paid? And they know that it makes people really nervous. Then people are typically going to lowball themselves. You don't want to lose the business. And it's the same when we go into contract negotiations for work things. Like, what salary do you want? But if we know what other people are getting paid, that's why this is so important. If we know what other people are making, then we kind of know what to say. Even though a brand shouldn't put you in that position in the first place.
One thing that I struggle with is the saying no to people, because you're overwhelmed with requests and like a lot of them are unpaid. It's just like, we want to send you this. Can you post this and story this and swipe up this? And it's like,
and you're like, not unless it's a car.
Like, whoa. Yeah. Like, no. And it's, I've had to really work on that. Like being able to just be comfortable and say like, unfortunately, I'm not taking unpaid work. Bye. Like, no.
Bye. Yeah. Yes. I'm not taking unpaid work. Because this is work and you have to recognize that. And brands are just lazy. They're lazy. And they also kind of know that some people will do it for free. And that's one of the reasons we wanted to do this campaign where we're paying influencers to promote Under the Influence, because I believe that women should be paid for their work. And I want iHeart to pay them for their work.
Totally. So before we go, do you have any other fun projects? I heard you say that you're going to have a season two of Under the Influence, which is so cool.
Yes.
So what else are you working on?
So my new novel, We Are Not Like Them, comes out October 5th, and it is available for pre-order now. And I have to say that because another thing we don't talk about enough, pre-orders matter. Publishers print enough books based on like how much excitement you get in the 6 months before a book comes out. So I want everyone to pre-order We Are Not Like Them. It is a wonderful novel, speaking of race, about race and friendship and how we live in the world. And I will send you a copy. We have galleys next week.
Well, I'm excited. We are not like them.
We are not like them. And it is available in the US and in Canada. And oh, and the UK, actually, all of the UK countries. So I have that. I have I do so many things that are so different that it's hard to even talk about them. So I'm doing a podcast on gun violence in Philadelphia right now, too, in addition to Under the Influence. And then my regular podcast that I've been doing for 5 years, which is Committed. The Committed podcast, which is about marriage and relationships and how do we do this weird thing where two people live together for the rest of their lives. Strange.
Yeah. And so when do you think the second season of Under the Influence would be out?
Probably the fall. I think it'll be the fall. Yeah. Cause we'll need the whole summer to report and I need a break. But one thing that I do want to focus on in the second season, and they don't know this yet, is so this story's great. In Iceland in 1974 and 1975, the women went on strike. So they went on strike for a day and didn't do any work. They didn't do housework. They didn't buy anything in the economy. They didn't participate. And the economy shut down. And since then, since that moment in the 70s, Iceland has had a much more egalitarian society where women are just respected. In fact, the first female president of Iceland said, I wouldn't have been the first female president of Iceland had they not had this strike on this one day. And so I want to, one, go to Iceland because it's wonderful there. And two, ask all of the women who create product for the internet to just not do it for a day. So what if we just didn't do it for a day and then make the people who own these companies recognize exactly how much labor we're doing for them?
Mark Zuckerberg would freak.
He'd lose his shit, right? And brands, like everyone, you just don't do it for a day to show how much of this economy is powered by women. So I'm going to put out the call for that in the first episode of Under the Influence and see if we can make it happen by the last episode.
Oh my God, yeah. That'll be exciting. I'm in for that for sure. So lastly, tell us where we can find you online and where people can listen to the podcast.
Yes. So Under the Influence and Committed, they are both on Apple Podcasts, the iHeart app, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. And online, Instagram is sadly the easiest place to get me. I keep giving money to those men. It's Joe Piazza Author on Instagram. And I tried TikTok, girl, and I'm so shit at it. So like, don't even bother to follow me on TikTok.
Do you go on and consume content though?
Try so much for my brain. I like it and I don't like it. When I have a break from the podcast, I'm going to try to do it again. But yeah, so Joe Piazza, author on Instagram, follow me. This has been so much fun. I love doing that.
Yeah, awesome. Thank you so much for talking with me.
Yes, thank you. And thank you for letting me put my glasses and my headband
yeah,
on.
Yeah, so you look fab, I must say.
Thanks. Thank you. You look fab. Thanks. We all look fab.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Have a good day.
You too.